Our reading from today is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. This is from the Message, the story of the persistent widow. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten back black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what the judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns?' He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this: 'Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, and adulterers, or, heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income.' Meanwhile, the tax man, slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, 'God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner.' Jesus commented, 'This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're more content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself.'"
I completely changed what I'm going to do this morning on Friday. And was it Friday I wrote you or yesterday, Rich? I think it was yesterday, wasn't it? And I said, "Hey, Rich, change of plans. I want to talk to you today about prayer, and I'm going to give you something in just a little while. All this underneath all this is our praying for a pastor to come to LifeSpring. That's kind of the end point of this. But I've thought about often that in the matter of congregations and God's work in those congregations, I really think that God shows up most demonstrably in places where people are paying attention. They're paying attention to what's going on in the world. They're paying attention to what the needs are of the people around them. They are personally invested. And one way or another, there's something authentic about their life. They see a need and they invest in it. It's personal. Amanda and I were talking about her friend Kim and her inability to get insurance. This is probably not my best example of this, but I said to Amanda, this is one of the reasons that people need to be politically involved in our world, because of people like Kim who cannot get insurance coverage for a bad disease. If I really am interested in that and concerned about that, I have to, at some level, become invested in it. That's what I'm talking about. In the case of the church, I think these people are people who are passionately concerned about the kingdom of God, who put the kingdom of God above everything else in their life. Because that's what Jesus asked us to do. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Read what he says about the kingdom. And fourth, These are people who pray in a concerted and unified way about all these things that they're concerned about. For the most part, I honestly do not believe the American church has God's ear. I really don't. Because of the way that the American church is behaving right now. It's embarrassing. I had a friend in Colorado, used to live here in the Central Valley, and he was a newspaper publisher for McClatchy. And he sends me articles back and forth, not often, but every once in a while he sends me articles that he finds. He's, I think, probably an atheist who would like to believe in something, I think. And the gist of this most recent article was how a mainstream evangelical movement has been primarily racist in their orientation, and they admit it. It's that kind of thing. You know, how can God be listening to us if we live in such contradictory ways to what we claim? And I think it's really easy to get to this place. I think you and I could get to this place by not talking about it as a group, by not having a group conversation about it where we're invested in it and we say, this is what we stand for. I think it happens in the things that we pray about. If all I'm praying about is me and what I want, and I kind of sort of regard God as this celestial ATM, then my life's going to reflect that. The Bible says a lot about prayer. Jeremiah 29 says, when you pray, when you call upon me and you pray to me, I will hear you, God saying through Jeremiah. Paul told the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Well, in the sense in which we normally use that term, that's not possible. But I think Paul was talking about an attitude where I really think of myself as constantly being in God's presence and being aware of what I'm doing, and I'm lofting up to Him. Not that He's up, but I'm lofting to Him my passions and my concerns. Hebrews 4 says, approach the throne of grace with boldness that we may find mercy and grace. Hebrew writer is really talking about prayer there. Approach the throne of God of grace with boldness. The text that Erica read this morning is about this unrighteous judge and this little widow who just nags him to death, and he finally gives in. I don't think the parable is about the judge, because if it were, and if we started thinking of the judge as God, we would end up with this God that's curmudgeonly and gruff and doesn't really care. I don't think that's the point. I think the point of that parable is that God really wants us to be persistent. He wants us to continually approach Him. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So over and over again, there's these things that are said about prayer. I've always found one in particular interesting. Elizabeth Elliot was the one that made me see this. And it's Daniel. Daniel used to go to God three times a day in Persia when they're still in captivity. Three times a day he went and he prayed in front of his window toward Jerusalem. Three times a day. And he ends up in a lion's den. And I think Elizabeth Elliot correctly talks about this dichotomy, this attitude that I need to have, that I'm turning my life over to God and it's really up to Him. I'm not trying to control Him. I'm laying my life down before Him. For the past few years, we've been saying, pray that the Lord will help us find another pastor, or some version of that sentence. And we have, I'm sure. But I think the request lacked two important things. One is, it lacked a focused corporate view. It wasn't persistent enough. We didn't talk about it enough. If this is important to us, how does God know that? If we only rarely talk about it. And we failed to take note of what such a request requires or entails. For this reason, I'm asking you today, you can pass those out now, to take a 22-day period of your life to pray daily for our seeking a pastor. And by the way, this idea, Todd Vogt planted this in my head, and I think the idea was a great idea. What I'm giving you is a calendar of sorts. Would you pass one back to John? Thank you. Not because it's a calendar in the normal sense, but it's sort of a way to think about what we're praying for. Each day of the 22 days has three parts to it. One is a text, a little simple text, a comment about it. Two is a prayer concern relating to our search for a pastor. And I'm hoping that at the end of the 22 days, you will have thought about other things pertaining to this that I haven't thought about yet. Take notes on the back of your prayer calendar of things that come to mind that you think we ought to be praying about in this regard. And the third thing is always a little short prayer pertaining to that particular concern or those thoughts of that day. One element that I want to stress to you, and this is the last page, the very last page, is the prayer of indifference. Now, you know, there's indifference and then there's indifference. And I'm not talking about being unconcerned or uncaring or indifferent. I'm talking about being indifferent to myself. Because what it does is it moves me away from thinking of God as ATM. God, I want this. God, I want that. In fact, this prayer of indifference that I have here is from John Wesley. And listen to it. Dear God, I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, this prayer, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. That's the prayer of indifference. That says to God, I'm yours. I probably at no point in this whole process have ever felt more like I do now, and that is that I don't know what the future holds. I don't know who the next person will be. I'm not sure I know who the next person should be. That's in God's hands. And so what I'm asking you to do for 22 days, every day, talk to the Lord about these concerns. You can use the calendar as a sort of guide to kind of help you along the road with this. Take notes, please. The things that you discover as you work your way through this. Maybe at the end of it, we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll do more of it. Maybe we'll do another cycle. Maybe it'll be 30 days of prayer. But I know that. I really think that if we want God to be impressed about our commitment to this, our investment in this, that we must, as a group, say this to God every day. Let's pray. Dear Father, we always want to talk to you more and listen for your guidance. Today we embark on telling you in a concerted way what our longings are in regard to a new pastor. We don't know what you will do for us and in us, but we stand ready to listen and even change in response to you. Please walk with us and help us to find the person that will most fit our needs and our future. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.